show you don't want to miss. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we are so glad you're along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We are indeed gearing up for a big weekend of college football. And the team that is in our Big 12 spotlight, of course, is Oklahoma, who, oh, by the way, is coming off an impressive defensive performance, a shutout 52-0 over the Iowa State Cyclones. The Sooners, they're gearing up for a 7 o'clock kickoff Saturday night in Columbia, Missouri, and going to face those Mizzou Tigers. What better guy to bring back to the program than James Hale from OUESPN.com and, of course, also hosts his show on KREF 1400 in Norman, Oklahoma. You know, you're not chasing Sooners, James. I know you're running around chasing your little E, and that's little Ella, your granddaughter. How are you?
I'm doing great, and she's the, you know, my daughter Maddie's the love of my life, but I got two beautiful young women in my life, and boy, they are something else. Little E has just brought so much joy, and her parents are doing a great job with her. She has so much love in her family that she's just always laughing and playing, man, and she's always swinging a bat, so, you know, when she comes over, we start working. My problem is I can't tell if she's left-handed or right-handed. It's just whatever. She just kind of lines up on one side, starts hacking, you know?
Well, it's nice to have that dexterity. So how old is little Ella?
Yeah, well, she's only two, you know, so I guess she could be a pinch hitter. I've never taught pinch hitting before, but hey, I guess this is the first time, right?
Well, we need to go have her spend some time at the Lloyd Noble Center with Sherry Cole. We need her to be playing basketball.
You know, the only thing I fear now, her mother is somewhat tall. Her mother's 5'11". Her husband's about 6 foot, but she is a Hale, you know, and I'm about 5'9". I guess she could be a point guard, you know, so.
There you go. Hey, let's talk about the other love of your life, and that is covering the Oklahoma Sooners. They continue to roll 2-0 in the Big 12, 6-0 overall. And here we are, James, you know, at the midpoint of the college football season. Head coach Bob Stoops, he's talked about that the emphasis has been improving, trying to improve every single week. What are you seeing?
That's exactly what's happening to this football team. One thing that's been pretty evident during the Stoops era is that when they have time off, and this week they had a week after the Texas game, his football teams get better. And since Landry Jones has been the quarterback, he has improved greatly during time off. No quarterback in the country improved more than Landry Jones during the bowl prep. I mean, he got an additional 20 days of reps, 20 practices with that receiving core, and all of a sudden that receiving core, you know, developed. Now, jump ahead to this year. The receiving corps adds Kenny Stills, a true freshman who comes in. That has added a great deal to this crew. Trey Franks, who's beginning to emerge as a backup slot receiver. He was the class, 3A or 5A 100-meter champ. And I think for class 5A. And he did it for two straight years. He's run a 10-1, 900 meters. So OU wants to get that speed on the field. They're beginning to develop that. So you take what Landry does, and the fact that he seems to improve every time he has some time off. Well, he did this time too. He was 30 for 34. I would bet a lot of quarterbacks in 7-on-7 drills with no pass rush can't go 30 for 34. And yet he was 30 for 34. That sets an all-time record. Now think of the quarterbacks at Oklahoma. He broke Jason White's record for percentage passes completed in a single game. All Jason did was win the Heisman Trophy. The guy that was second was Sam Bradford. All he did was win the Heisman Trophy. Sam's playing pretty well for the Rams every Sunday. Jason would have if he would not have had bad knees. So those are two pretty good quarterbacks, and yet the number one guy now is Landry Jones. And Landry also holds the single-game record for touchdowns at 6, or I think he's tied with Sam on that one. He may hold it. So, you know, he just gets better with ages. I know a lot of people are always unsatisfied with him. I always hear, well, he's not Bradford, he's not this, or he's not that. How about what he is? What he is right now is one of the best pure-passing quarterbacks in the country. He's in the top 5 throwing the football. That's pretty salty. Unless everybody is blind, he's one of the leading Heisman Trophy candidates. I mean, there's so many weapons and so many stars on this offense, but, you know, when you improve and you go 30 for 34 in a game, that's amazing. So every time this team gets an opportunity to get extra reps and extra practice time in, they get better. And, boy, it looked like they got better on Saturday when they played Iowa State. They just looked really, really good on both sides of the ball.
James Hale with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Of course, we are calling into Norman, Oklahoma. He is with 1400 KREF. You can also check out all of his articles on OUESPN.com. And, you know, as we talk about Landry Jones, he is, as you're saying, he's playing up to his potential. But at times he has had critics this year. Is he starting to play maybe perhaps with a chip on his shoulder and trying to prove himself more?
No, he's the most humble, team-oriented kid I've ever seen. You know, he doesn't really care about himself. He doesn't care what people are saying. Even though he's football smart, he knows he has to play well for this offense to play well. And he's real confident in his ability. I don't think Landry plays any sport doing anything, whether it's cards, anything else, where he thinks he's going to lose. So I think he's pretty cocky in that regard, but he's very sweet and humble when you're just talking to him. Even when the press is coming after him, he'll pause before he talks. He'll try to take all the blame on him. What about that wide receiver that dropped that pass? Well, I just didn't really throw it quite in the right spot. Well, hit him right between the numbers or in the hands, you know, and so you're going, what spot do you want to hit him at? But he'll say, maybe I threw it too hard. Maybe I threw it too soft. And that's what a quarterback does. When there's a sack, he doesn't blame his tackle. Even if the tackle whiffed, he blames himself for not throwing the ball away or stepping up in the pocket. And I think that has endeared himself to his teammates. But he's very humble. He doesn't have a chip on his shoulder for sure. I don't even think he knows what people are saying about him. He's one of those athletes, and I really believe he does. I don't always believe athletes when they say they don't pay attention to the media, but I really think he does. And, you know, he comes in and meets with us every week, and he sits down and stays as long as we want him to stay. So we get the quarterback report, and, you know, we get to talk to him, but he definitely doesn't have a chip on his shoulder.
You have rattled off some of the great quarterbacks that, of course, have come from Oklahoma. Does he remind you? Is he reminiscent of some of those guys from the past?
I think he's in the same elk. I mean, Jason White and Kevin Wilson both told me this when he was a freshman playing for the injured Sam Bradford, that he's the same kind of guy they were. Now, when you start comparing greatness, it's like trying to, you know, DeMarco Murray now holds the touchdown record all time at Oklahoma, breaking the great record held by Steve Owens for 41 years. Steve won the Heisman Trophy in 1969. Oklahoma's had some of the greatest running backs of all time. I mean, if you just think back all the way even to Billy Vessels, Jim Gresham, you know, you go back to some of those guys that played for Bud Wilkinson. Then you jump to the Switzer era. I mean, where do you start? Greg Pruitt, Joe Washington, you know, Billy Sims, Marcus Dupree, Mike Gattis, DeMond Parker. You just go on and on. And now you jump up to DeMarco Murray, who's following in the footsteps of Quentin Griffin, who was one of the all-time great running backs. And so you start comparing him and you say, well, where does he stand? Well, that's an amazing question. I don't know. You know, it's it's the same thing with Landry Jones, really, at this time. Where does he stand? You know, is he as good as Sam Bradford? Is he as good as Jason White? Is he Josh Heupel? See, you know, it's hard to say. But he's along that same elk. They all say that. Now you're comparing him against the greats of the greats, which puts him among that group. And if he's third among that group, that's not too bad.
Of course, Landry Jones, as you talked about him, what about the play of DeMarco Murray? As you had just mentioned, you know, three touchdowns, set the school record for all-time touchdown mark with, what, 58? He seems like a guy, as he presents himself, very composed, and he, too, is very humble. It just seems like that's the personality of this team.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, because of some of their better players are pretty humble. Now, you got Travis Lewis on the defensive side, who's the Muhammad Ali of the group.
He's gregarious, isn't he?
Well, he walked into his last press conference saying, the champ is here! The champ is here! So, you know, that's pretty much introducing himself, you know. So, and now Brent Venables has nicknamed him the Mouth of the South because he's from Texas.
Love it.
You know, so it's great. But DeMarco is a humble kid, and DeMarco just works hard. You know, it's been fun following DeMarco because there have been developments in his career. There's been shifts and balances. He's suffered two weird injuries, but they've been significant injuries that he's had to rehab from. And both times you're going, will he ever come back to be the same guy? And both times he has, and he's actually come back better. Now he's a better player at this point in his career. You know, so he was running really hard and fast. I thought he ran faster when Roy Finch got on the field. I mean, Roy put an electric shock into the offense with his speed and quickness. And I think Mark DeMarco said, uh-oh, I better get my quicks back. And all of a sudden, he was exploding through that hole, too. DeMarco's become more of a Steven Jackson, you know, power back guy, you know, that kind of thing. And but he's really, really good. I tell you what, he's one of the most versatile running backs in the history of OU. He gets his yardage not only rushing, but gets it as a pass receiver. He can line up as a pure receiver and run solid, good routes. And he's been a kick returner, and he's been as good a kick returner as anybody in the country throughout his career. And he's battled back from two significant injuries. And I tell you what, next game, try to watch him blocking, pass block. He threw a block for Ryan Broyles on one of those bubble screens yesterday.
Incredible.
That lit up the defensive back. And I asked him about it afterwards. He said, everybody blocks for me. He goes, James, I've learned how to block. I take a lot of pride in that. And he does. I would guess he's one of the best pure pass blockers, pass protection guys for Landry or for his quarterback in the country. I can't imagine guys are that much better than him, and he's really good at it.
Okay, one of the guys I got to talk to you about, you had just mentioned Rory Finch and his return. He'd been out since August with a hairline ankle fracture, and he debuted. How do you think he's going to do?
Well, he was electric. He looked special. I mean, he's incredibly fast. He's been compared to Quentin Griffin, but a faster Quentin Griffin. Boy, that gets you excited because Q was great. Some of Q's best runs at OU, Bobby Jack Wright used to tell me, were the 1 yard or 2 yard runs when the blocking broke down and he juked seven guys to get 2 yards. Well, this is what this kid can do. You saw a couple of times he took a step backwards before he went forwards. But most of the time, the offensive line had a great day. They were blowing holes in Iowa State's offense on Saturday. And he was able to jump out there and just race through those holes. So he's incredibly quick. He's incredibly fast. He'll slow down a little bit, read the hole a little bit better. Boy, he took some hard shots, so welcome to D1 football. But he's going to be special. And now OU's got three primetime running backs that are running well. Moses Madu actually averaged over 11 yards a carry against Iowa State. He did fumble the ball once. And you could tell that Roy got some of his carries on Saturday. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all works out. But I think Rory Finch now becomes the understudy to DeMarco Murray, and he probably takes a few snaps away from Moses Madu.
Well, it's hard to believe Rory Finch, only a freshman, highly anticipated coming into this season. Let's talk about the guy. Last time you were on the program, James, you said receiver Ryan Broyles. This is a guy that literally could perhaps win the Heisman, and he continues to set so many records and even did this past Saturday.
He's competing against himself. He broke his own record for catches in a game. I mean, he held it at 13 and he had, 16 against Iowa State. He's not really getting any push for the Heisman Trophy, and that disappoints me because I do think he's one of the best players in college football, and I could argue he's as good as anybody else. He had another double catch, 100-plus game against Iowa State. And so he's actually done that pretty well. He's prolific. Bob Stoops, during his press conference, on Saturday, said, every game it seems like I'm saying in my headphones, hey, this guy amazes me. And that's how good he is. They're able to start off with those bubble screens, and that's just like a rushing play to OU. And he's getting 7-8, then he'll get 10, then he'll get 11, he'll get 12. He hasn't really been able to break the electrifying 65, 70-yard run like he has in the past. And I kidded him after the game. I said, you and DeMarco, have you guys just decided you're going to run over people and not juke anybody? But on those bubble screens, I can understand. There's nine guys over there. You're trying to run through them the best you can, and a lot of times you just can't juke and jive everybody. So, he's really prolific. He's making catches now that the big receivers make. The great receivers, have great hands, and they go up and they make those catches. You're saying, wow, how did he do that? He's beginning to make those catches. So Landry's throwing it to him now in double coverage because he's going up and making those catches. He'll think long and hard about coming out after this year. I don't know which direction he's going to go, but I would have to believe he's already thought of as a first or second round draft choice. Just where he's thought of will probably determine whether or not he comes back or not. But in the meantime, OU has a primetime receiver that every time he takes the field, maybe the best player on the field.
How big is Ryan? I mean, when I've been next to him, what is he, 5'9"?
That's a great question. Ryan wants to tell you what, he's 6 foot, but I both know he's not. But you're so tall,
Well, he's a Norman, Oklahoma guy, right?
But you're the only woman that I've seen interviewing Coach Stoops that he's looking up at you, that he really looked somewhat intimidated. He's looking up at you going, man, this good-looking girl can't be this tall. But anyway.
Well, they've got him listed as 5'11". I have it right in front of me. 5'11", 183. I guess the question you had talked about, potentially he could be a first-round draft pick. How much weight will he have to add, or will he have to put on any or muscle?
183 right now. probably to play at the next level if he doesn't lose any quickness. That's the whole thing. He can play at 195, maybe 198, 200. But, you know, in the National Football League, those receivers are good. I mean, it's speed and quickness at this league, too. Finding space, get that 10 yards. Wes Welker's not the fastest guy. He's not the biggest guy, and he's leading the league in receiving every year. So, now Ryan can be prolific. I mean, you know, Mark Clayton's not that big, and he's kind of resurrected his career with the Rams before he tore his ACL the other day, or whatever he did, his patella. He tore his patella, didn't he? And but he had become the number one receiver with the Rams and was showing everybody he could play at that level. Now, you know, he's going to be big enough. If you've ever seen him just in the weight room or with his shirt off running around, he's really built. And he works hard in the weight room. His body fat's probably down to 5% or something like that. And I don't know, whatever you can still live with. And he can probably play at 195, I'm going to guess.
Oklahoma, a team that is headed in the right direction. Of course, they dismantled Iowa State 52-0 on Saturday. James Hale is with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. We want to thank our friends and folks at Western Company of Texas. James, where can some of our listeners go and check out some of your articles that you write about Sooner sports?
OUinsider.com. We're getting ready to join a new collegiate group, 727. We're excited about. And, you know, so we're still going to be affiliated with ESPN, but this is a group that, you know, really works with collegiate networks, and we're going to have a great recruiting database and really concentrate with that. But you can always dial us up on OUinsider.com, OUinsider.com. And people can listen to Sports Talk 1400 The Ref anywhere in the world on their computers or even on their smartphones. If you've got an iPhone or a smartphone like that, you can just download SportsTalk1400.com, and we have a a toggle or whatever you call it, you know, that you can punch up and you can listen to us anywhere in the world, and people are doing that. We're really proud of that.
Okay, well, we're talking Sooner football, and one of the topics that's been pretty hot even in this area and part of the country down here in Texas is the defense for the Sooners. It had been under scrutiny, of course, doing a great job this past weekend, but talk about Brent Venables' defense and your assessment of it so far.
Well, it was ranked 90th in the country going into the Iowa State game, and they held Iowa State to 183 yards. Travis Lewis said during the week that one thing he wanted a shutout against Iowa State. He wants his defense to start thinking about that. Quit thinking about, you know, assignments. You know your assignments. You know where you're supposed to play. Now start thinking about dominating your opponent. I think the Texas game juiced them up because Tom Ward had a good game. Travis had a good game. The Texas speed didn't hurt them that bad over the middle like it had in the past, and they played really well. Then they had the 2 weeks to get better, and I think they did. And I think they worked on fundamentals. I think they worked on themselves. And I do think they got better. I think this defense has been juiced, too, by the return of Austin Box. I think Austin got three injuries. He'd been out all year with a back problem, and many thought his career was over. Well, he battled back, and he got back out there. It was even tedious during practice. They weren't really sure if he was going to make it back or not, but he was able to get back out there, and that's just juiced this team. Austin means a lot to him, and even though he's not going to start, Wart's going to start. They know Austin's over there, and it's like a security blanket. It's really great. And Aaron Colvin has begun to emerge at corner. That gives him three really good corners. He played the second half as they rested Jamel Fleming, who's coming back from an injury. So, you know, that was something special, I thought. I just think they're getting better. I thought the safeties had their best game. Quentin Carter and Jonathan Nelson are two really good safeties. You know, but they haven't really played all that well. Well, they played well against Iowa State. Now, you know, at defensive tackle, they're playing a bunch of young pups. But Adrian Taylor, remember that gruesome injury he had against Stanford?
Yes.
All right, it's one of the best stories. I hope you can get him on your show. Adrian's come all the way back. And I thought one of the great plays, they ran a bubble screen and they get out. And the guy chasing him, cutting off his angle, I'm talking about with the receivers, was number 86, who ran 35 yards to the sideline, forced the receiver to change his angle before Jonathan could get over and knock him out of bounds, and I almost gave the kid a standing ovation in the press box. That's a kid coming back from such a gruesome leg injury that nobody even wanted to look at the injury. They won't replay it on television. And he's back running 35 yards downfield. I thought he looked healthier. I thought he had his best game. Then Jamarcus McFarland, Stacy McGee, two pretty heralded young pups. trying to play at defensive tackle. Well, all of a sudden they found out they can pass rush. They were getting penetration. They were chasing a pretty good quarterback in Arnott all around the field, and that's a big cat to try to bring down. They didn't always bring him down, but they were chasing him and getting penetration. So, again, this team's getting better and better, and it's just evolving. I guarantee they won't finish as the 90th best defense in the country at the end of the year. They'll be back where they should be, somewhere in the top 20.
James, as you're talking about, this is an Oklahoma team that is evolving. It's improving. I hear the excitement in your voice. It's proving that perhaps they can play for a national championship this year.
They're a contender, but I said that at the beginning of the year. Remember on the first show I came on with you,
yeah.
I said I thought they were one of the teams.
And so did Phil Steele.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen anything that I don't think that's going to be the case. This team is 6-0. They've beaten everybody they're supposed to beat. They haven't always looked pretty doing it, but maybe some of the teams they played are better than you thought. Maybe Utah State's better, and maybe Burrell is the real deal. Air Force lost on Saturday by 2 points, but, you know, they've played pretty well. Florida State's only lost one game, and they've run through the Florida. They're the best team in Florida. And that's a pretty good, that's a pretty good group to run through. They beat Texas in the Cotton Bowl in a game that they certainly earmarked for, and so they got after it and won that game. They've been able to win every single game, and they seem to be getting better. Their quarterback seems to be getting better. Defensively, they seem to be getting better. And they have firepower in Landry Jones, DeMarco Murray, Ryan Broyles, and they have guys coming like Roy Finch, Moses Madu, DeJuan Miller, Kenny Stills. Stills gets better every single game. And one of their most unheralded players is Trey Millard, who's the young fullback. You know, Brody Eldridge is catching everybody's eye as the second tight end for the Indianapolis Colts, so much so that they talk about him every broadcast. And for 4 years, Bob Stoops, Kevin Wilson told everybody how good of a player Brody Eldridge was. They even called him their best football player on their team, and we all kind of went, Brody Eldridge? Because he never caught a pass, hardly. Well, it wasn't involved in the passing game, but as a blocker, it was almost 100% every game. Well, Trey Millard is picking up that pace as a blocker. He may not be quite as good as Brody, but he's close. But he's a lot better with the ball in his hands. And he's playing fullback. They're using him in the passing game. They're giving him a carry every once in a while. And see, that's another young player. They're just getting better all the time.
Okay, so talk to us about the matchup on Saturday night against Mizzou. They are a team that is much improved. And are they the best team in the North? I mean, I know that Nebraska stumped their toe a little bit, this past week, but, they'll get back to where they need to be.
Is, but I guess we'll find out. They have to play each other. And, that game is going to be played at Nebraska, too. And it's going to be played after the Oklahoma game. So that doesn't really set up real well for Missouri. It's interesting. This game is homecoming for Missouri, and Missouri's 6-0. I think if you're a Missouri fan, you got to be thrilled. Your team, just like Oklahoma, maybe you haven't always looked pretty. Maybe you haven't always looked awesome, but you've won every game that you're supposed to. You've won every game you played. And, you've played your schedule. When they go on the road and they whip Texas A&M, I had Texas A&M winning that game. But Texas A&M, I think, has been one of the biggest disappointments in the conference. Missouri goes and dominates Texas A&M. And Gabbert, even though he's been a guy that has not been, Blaine Gabbert, a guy that has not been prolific, he's been fighting off a hip injury and everything, boy, he's been real steady. And he's one of the better quarterbacks in the conference. It's interesting. This team has survived the loss of Washington, which shows they're recruiting pretty well. They're, the running back who's had some troubles off the field. And, they continue to add some players. And, they always seem to have some skilled players that are working. But what's really the difference in Missouri this year is, they got one of the best defensive teams in the country. And that team on defense is doing a great job. And, well, it's a big game for Missouri this weekend, just like it is at Oklahoma. These are two of the remaining undefeated teams in college football. What are they, E11 right now?
Yeah.
And this is two of the remaining undefeated teams. They're both fighting to get into that Big 12 championship. But, heck, both can honestly say we're fighting to do the same thing. We're fighting to get into a BCS bowl, and there's a lot on the line in Columbia, Missouri.
Well, absolutely, and I think you're right. It's scouting the defense for Missouri because they certainly have been forcing a number of turnovers. My question to you, being there in the state of Oklahoma, what about one of the perhaps the biggest surprise stories in the Big 12 conference, and that's been the play at Oklahoma State? I mean, Mike Gundy really doing a fabulous job.
And, Mike's continuing to put together really good offensive teams, and his defense under Bill Young is beginning to come around. But you know, when he hired Dana Holmgren to come in and run things on the offensive side, Mike took a step back from calling plays. I thought that was a gutsy move, and it shows you Mike is thinking of the program as a whole and not just himself. I mean, sure, he had fun calling plays, but I think Mike said, you know what, I'm not really being a head coach. I need to be a head coach. And, you know, Mike wouldn't even mess with the defense when he was calling plays. He didn't even know what was going on out there. Now he's managing the football game. He's managing the team, and that's what he needs to do. And what's happened at Oklahoma State is that Whedon has stepped up to be even better than Robinson. I mean, as a passer, he's better than Robinson throwing the ball. As a runner, he's not, but they're not asking him to run. And they've come up with formations that takes advantage of the running back talent that Oklahoma State always has. When's Oklahoma State not had running backs?
Yeah.
They've got them again. Kendall Hunter, Randall, Smith, who's the third guy. I mean, they've got running backs. Now, they won that game on Saturday at Tech without their number two and three receivers. So that shows you they have enough depth and enough versatility on offense that they can make some other things. And Blackman has become one of the best receivers in the country. If you don't want to put him in there, then you're just mistaken. He has been a great player. He comes right out of there at Ardmore Plainsview High School, and very few teams recruited him. He wanted to go to Oklahoma. Oklahoma didn't have a spot for him. They didn't create one. They're probably regretting that right now. This kid is a star. And he's very much like Dez Bryant, big, strong, physical, game breaker. I don't know how good they are at defense, and I think that's one question mark. They're still evolving there, but they're really a talented football team.
And, of course, Oklahoma State, as you had just mentioned, James, with the big win on the road, 34-17 over Texas Tech. I am curious, of course, with Mike Gundy being the head coach at Oklahoma State, Cale Gundy is the running backs coach at Oklahoma, is in his 12th season there. What is their relationship like during the season? Do they not talk to each other until Thanksgiving perhaps rolls around?
You know, Cale says they talk once a week, and it's never about football. If it is, maybe it's about an opponent that they've already played. Let's say Oklahoma State's played one. Mike might throw him something that they did if Oklahoma's going to play them in the future. You know, but usually they don't talk football because they don't play to the end of the year. So they call, you know, I mean, you know, they're the uncles for each other's children. So it's, hey, you know, how's your kids? How's mine? How's the wife? All right, mom and dad doing okay? All right, see you down the road. Good luck, man. See ya. It's kind of like that. They love each other dearly. They're very competitive. I think it is one of the interesting stories that probably does not get played up enough. I mean, here's Mike, the head coach and a star at Oklahoma State. Mike's one of the greatest players ever at Oklahoma State. Cale came along in the wrong era. If Cale had come along during this era, we'd be talking about him as one of the elite quarterbacks. But you can never underestimate how good Cale Gundy was as a quarterback.
He was terrific. I was a senior. He was a freshman. And he was there, what, during the Gary Gibbs year?
Oh, that's absolutely right. And Watson Brown was his offensive
That's right.
Veteran.
Yes.
You know, Watson's Mac's brother. And, you know, Mac will tell you Watson is the better football coach of the two. Mac's had more possibilities and more great things happen for him. And Mac has become a great head coach. Watson's had a chance as a head coach, but he's never been at the programs that Mac has, and that's where Mac has been one of the best in the business, creating those opportunities for himself, making the most of those opportunities. And Mac does a great job leading an organization and leading a team, but Watson is a great X's and O's guy.
Just a few more minutes with James Hale this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. I guess as we go around the Big 12 and we navigate around, you know, perhaps one of the biggest surprise stories and shockers has been the play of Kansas. I really anticipated that Turner Gill would have had that program going a whole lot better. What's going on?
Well, the transition from Mangino to Turner Gill just has not gone well, and they're just not as good. They lost personnel to graduation. They had a problem at quarterback. They're just really struggling. I think their talent is down. You know, when the Brown brothers transferred back, they didn't transfer back to Kansas. They transferred to Kansas State, and I think that tells you a little bit about what's going on. I think Turner Gill has talked a lot about recruiting, but the proof is in the pudding. Who's he recruiting? And he's only had 1 year at it, so he needs 4 years, but this transition has not been easy. They went from a coach in Mangino, and you can love him, hate him, whatever. I happen to love him. I know him. But he's a hard-nosed coach, and if you're going to play for him, and if you know, you're without question, you're going to play hard. I'm not sure what the identity of Kansas is right now. They were slaughtered by Kansas State, and Kansas State was slaughtered by Nebraska. So it's not that I look at Kansas State and go, oh, boy, that's a great football team. I don't think they are.
Well, how did they beat Georgia Tech?
Well, Georgia Tech is a unique, if you jump on them and get ahead of them, you know, how does Georgia Tech catch you? You know, they can't pass the football, and that's the problem. That's what's happening with Nebraska and all these teams that rely on running quarterbacks. If you get behind, you have problems. Now, you know, in Nebraska's loss this past Saturday, you know, Nebraska had opportunities to win that game against Texas. Their quarterback actually threw the ball better than his stats will indicate. They had 6 drops in the game. But see, the passing game takes shape, and it's more than just the quarterback throwing it. You got to have receivers. Your offensive line has to block it, and that's not what they're doing anymore. So you get these running teams. If anybody can ever – the one team that might be able to overcome a big deficit just running the ball is Oregon. I mean, Oregon's come up with an offensive system that reminds me of the wishbone in 1971 with the Sooners, when it didn't matter if you jumped out to a 20-0 lead, OU was still going to beat you 55-20. I mean, I think that's kind of what Oregon's doing. Whether they're the best team or not remains to be seen, but I really love their offense. But I think that's what's happening, and I don't know what the identity of Kansas is. I mean, I can't tell what they're doing. They're not very talented. They're just not a good football team.
Kansas certainly searching for an identity, and as we get ready to wrap up the show, of course, you had mentioned earlier in our interview talking about Oklahoma playing Air Force and how they were able to squeak by in that particular game. TCU hosts Air Force at Amon G. Carter Stadium on Saturday. Your thoughts on this particular matchup? I think it's compelling. Air Force coming off a loss, but they'll certainly be fired up for the Horned Frogs.
Well, it'll be a great team because I think both teams play real, sound, fundamental football. That's two of the better football teams in the country. And TCU is getting talent from the state of Texas. They're getting good, solid talent. There's so many great players coming out of the state of Texas. The scholarship limitations keeps the Texas Longhorns and the Sooners and Oklahoma State and Texas A&M from grabbing all the best talent in Texas. And now some of it's going to TCU. You begin to see TCU's name on some of the better players in Texas. It's another opportunity for kids not to go that far away from home in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they can stay right there, and they can play for an outstanding program, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, TCU matches up against the option of Air Force every year, so they know it. They'll defense it better than those teams that had to face Air Force in the non-conference schedule. I think TCU is going to win, but I always think that's going to be a good game.
Well, James, you've been covering college football for so many years. I mean, would you ever think that TCU would be the top-ranked team in the state of Texas? I mean, over Texas, Texas A&M, I mean, Texas Tech. I mean, that's pretty incredible. Gary Patterson has done a phenomenal job.
Yeah, and no, I can't say that I really would have thought that. And I'll be totally honest with you. You know, every year I don't really give them as much credit as I should, and it's always like, hey, you guys got to prove it to me. And yet they are. They're one of the teams, kind of like Boise State with me, but they prove it every year. Now, I go on my show every day when people say, who are the best teams in the country? And Boise State and TCU are two of the teams I always mention.
Outstanding. James Hale, thank you so much for dropping by. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon. And once again, remind all of our listeners where they can go and check out all your good stuff.
Hey, OUinsider.com. It's OUinsider.com. And we have a lot of stuff on college football and recruiting. And, yes, we primarily focus on the Oklahoma Sooners. And then, of course, hey, download sportstalk1400.com Monday through Friday. I'm on 3 to 6 on Total Sports. You'll hear some great interviews and even the Big E sometimes on the show.
We'll definitely promote it when I make my next debut. Thanks again, James, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Hey, it's always my pleasure. Thank you.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Tom Krattenmaker is going to be with us here in just a moment.